The pasuk says, "Vayasa Moshe et Yisrael mi Yam Suf." Moshe led the Jewish people away from Yam Suf. Rashi brings a midrash that the Egyptians had come the way they ordinarily came, with their gold and silver and precious stones adorning their horses. The Egyptians were proud of their horses, and Am Yisrael was collecting the loot. So Moshe has to tell him, "Let's go, let's go. We don't stick around here." The Zohar tells us a different story. The Zohar says that the Jews wanted to stay by Yam Suf because they felt the revelation of Shechina there. And so Moshe had to say, "Let's go. We can't stay here forever." Says Rav Chalap, the two don't contradict. The Medrash Rashi is quoting, and the Zohar don't contradict. The Gemara in Tractate Shabbos tells us that in order for a person to get prophecy, they have to be wise, they have to be brave, they have to be rich. And ordinarily, when a person has wealth, so then a person becomes arrogant, and Hashem becomes less relevant in their life. They feel like they can do it alone. But that's when the world is ruined. That's when things are not running the way they should. When the world is the way it should be, so then it's the other way around. The more a person has wealth, the more he connects to the Ribon Shel Olam. Wealth is a vehicle to connecting to the Ribon Shel Olam. When Am Yisrael by the sea attained that level, whatever level of prophecy and connection they attained, so then they felt like the more wealth they have, the more they're going to be greater prophets, because they felt this would help us. Now, the Rav Chalap is mashma, that the more wealthy you are, the more prophecy you're going to get, which is also interesting.
Moshe was the poorest person in Israel, right?
That's a good question. And proof of this was that once the Shekhinah left the place, they ran after the Shekhinah. That's what the Zohar says happened, that the Shekhinah left Yam Suf, so they right away left the Yam Suf, because the whole point of the wealth was as a vehicle of connecting to the Ribon Shel Olam. This deserves broader discussion, because Rav Chalap is really going with the Ran and those opinions that disagree with Rambam. Rambam says that when the Gemara says prophecy settles on a person when he's wealthy, that means Ezu Ashir Asamech Bechelko. It doesn't mean he has to have money. So that answers the Rambam. He has to be happy with his lot. That's the wealth that the Gemara is talking about. That's what Rambam says. Ran says no. Ran says from the Gemara, it's definitely not mashma that way. The Gemara brings examples of wealthy prophets who had money to buy a ship, and the Gemara gives you very physical examples, right?
So others who didn't, no?
That's a good question. I'm just saying that first of all, Rav Chalap is going with the Ran. That's number one. Secondly, the question is, going with that understanding, so then how does that work? What does that mean that through wealth he can become a greater prophet? The people felt the more wealth they had, the greater prophecy they would attain. I'm not sure what Rav Chalap means with that. I have ideas, but I'm really not sure. I don't know.
Were there not poor and impoverished prophets? If I'm not mistaken, there were prophets who were thrown in prison. There were prophets who were... Even when Shlomo HaMelech wrote Kohelet, yeah, nothing, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a good question.
Bavadiah
right?
was in debt.
What?
Bavadiah died in debt. The prophet.
But we don't know when he said his prophecy. Could be his prophecy was when he was wealthy. His question about Shlomo is a better question. It says he had only his stick left. So how is he writing Kohelet? Right? It's a good question. If you want a class on it, tell me. We'll try to have
class. If you're not chasing money, if you're not worried about where the money